Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Bring greetings from Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, who are still on family vacation, and they'll be back with us next Sunday. So keep them in prayer, and they've still got another week of family time. And also Pastor James and Sister Miranda and the kids are away on family holiday, and they'll be back with us next Sunday also. And just like Brother Anton was saying, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the ministers here at Victory Outreach Manchester. And God has opened doors for me to be involved in the prison ministry. I come from a life of addiction, a life of heroin addiction, crack cocaine addiction, in prison quite a lot growing up. And Jesus completely changed my life, 2004. And I've never ever looked back from then. But recently, in the last couple of years, God's opened doors for me to go into prisons. And I was going to a few of the local prisons here in Manchester. And what happened once, I was going to prison and people were getting saved and lives were getting transformed and things were happening in prison. And they asked me if I wanted to get vetted to go into a prison where I would be able to go in as a volunteer, maybe one day a week. Eventually I'd get the keys and that to go about the landings and that and share the good news with guys. And I went for the application. I went and saw the HR at the prison. It was a local prison and I'd done all the paperwork. Then all of a sudden I got a letter back saying, sorry, your access has been denied. You can no longer come into prison. I was like, whoa, man. I said, what's going on here? So the chaplaincy called me for the prison. They said, Kevin, you're not allowed to come in the prison now. You're basically barred for the prison. I was like, wow, man, I've never been barred for a prison in my life. I mean, I've been in plenty of prisons, but I've never been barred. So she said, appeal the letter, Kevin, appeal the letter. So I appealed it again, and I get knocked back again in this one prison. So then they sent me the final letter and said, I'm not allowed to get into any prison, basically, as a volunteer due to my past convictions. And I was like to myself, but my past convictions is like 15 years ago. I never had any for guns. I never had any for heavy violence. Mine were mostly dishonesty through drug addictions. I couldn't understand it. But then I recognised that the enemy was trying to discourage me and close the door on me. Because at that time I was in a couple of prisons and all of a sudden, boom, stopped. So I was discouraged, disheartened. We get like that sometimes, don't we? When something goes against us, where everything's going well, God's using us, where the anointing's on our life, then something happens. And I got discouraged and I was really disheartened. Then I get a phone call one day from another prison. And saying, you know what, Kevin, I've been given your name from someone. I'd like you to come into the prison and maybe share your testimony with the guys. I was like, all right, then praise God. Then I recognized what it was, is when the enemy tries to close one door, God will always open up another door. See, the enemy maybe have closed the door in your life. But I want to assure you this morning, this afternoon, that God will open another door. So don't be discouraged or don't be disheartened. Because God knows what the plans are for you. And that same prison, the one that I wanted to go in the landing, the new prison with door open for me, the chaplaincy's calling me, can you come and do a chaplaincy visit with this guy? Can you come in and see this guy? Could you come and do this? And God is just doing amazing things. And if you're interested and would like to go in the prison ministry, come and see me at the end. Always looking for people who can come in and lead worship or tell your story or testify. There's always opportunities. So what's happened is, because I'm not allowed to get in as a volunteer, I'm not allowed to get in that way. The way God's done it is, you're allowed to go in three times, I think it's three times a year. As just a normal person, you're in three times a year. So I've managed to wangle it that I've got four prisons. So that means three times four is 12. So that means God's made a way that I can go into prison once a month. See, the enemy tried to block it, stop it, jam it, get me to forget about it. But God was making a way for it. And I want to encourage you this morning that whatever you're facing, God will make a way. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Luke this afternoon, I keep saying this morning because I just done the first service. The book of Luke chapter 15. I want to be looking at soul winning life. How many know that Jesus has called us to be soul winners? Jesus has called us, he's not called us to be comfortable, he's not called us to be safe, although there's safety in the arms of Jesus, and there's protection in the arms of Jesus, but he's called us to be a mouthpiece for him. He's called us to be used by him, to be a soul winner for him. And in the book of Luke chapter 15, I want you to read a portion of scripture, and it's reading from verse 1. And it says, the tax collectors and other notorious sinners, I love that when it says that, the tax collectors and other notorious sinners. So it wasn't just your normal sinners. I love when it says your notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people and even eating with them. So Jesus told them a story. He said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. And in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And as we get ready today to talk about soul winners, we see at the start of this portion of scripture that the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law were bothered that they were annoyed and bothered that Jesus was associating with people with leprosy, and he was associating with the unclean, and he was associating with the ones that people used to neglect and people used to stand away from, and he was associating eating food with them. See, according to the Old Testament law, that the religious leaders were also always careful to stay clean. They went beyond the law to their avoidance of certain people and situations and in their ritual washings. But by contrast, Jesus took their concept of cleansiness lightly. He risked it by touching those who had leprosy and by neglecting to wash in the Pharisees' prescribed manner. Jesus showed complete disregard for their sanction against associating with certain classes of people. See, Jesus came to offer salvation to sinners and to show them that God loves them. Jesus didn't worry about the accusations. Instead, he continued going to those who needed him, regardless of the effect those rejected people might have on his reputation. See, and my question today is, how are you with following Jesus' example? Are you following Jesus' example with eating with the unclean people, or associating with those that are messed up, or associating with those that maybe be afflicted with addiction, or maybe those that are lost in darkness, or maybe those that the world has maybe kicked to the ground? How are you and how am I when it comes to reaching out, when it comes to being a soul winner? Because being a soul winner, that's what Jesus was modeling it. Because that's what Jesus done. He modeled it to the disciples of how to reach folk. He took them on a journey. And he was teaching them and he was showing them. And he was saying, you know what? That one is just as important as the 99. That one person that is lost is just as important as those that are safe and secure. See, there is many people out there on the streets today that are lost and bound. There are many young people getting brought up into gang violence and knife crime. There is many people in darkness. There is many people lost who don't know the truth about Jesus Christ. See, that's the ones that Jesus has called you and he's called me to reach. That's the ones that we need to get to that place, regardless of what other people say about them, or what other people think about them, or what labels have been placed upon them, because Jesus never looks at the label, but Jesus looks at the individual. He doesn't look at the outward appearance, but Jesus, he looks to the heart. In the heart of the people out there, that there is people dying, and there is people lost, and there's people bound, not knowing the truth. And God has blessed us and he's shown us the truth, and we have to be out there and be a beacon of truth for the lost and for the bound. See, soul winning is a metaphor for evangelism or witnessing. The Bible calls us to evangelize, Evangelism is the heart of the Great Commission. Christians are called to be witnesses of their faith to a watching world. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, you will be my witnesses. See, God is calling us and he's calling the church to be a witness, to be a witness to tell somebody about a somebody who can change an anybody. See, that's our mandate as a church, that we have to be at that place where we are called, where we're speaking to people and telling them the good news. I love what Jesus says when he's saying his last words to his disciples. He says, I have been given all authority in Matthew 28:19-20. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. He was telling the disciples that they need to go, that he's not called them just to stay in one place. You're not called just to be comfortable in church. You're not called just to be safe in your environment, called to be safe in your Christian circles. But we're called to go and reach and go and teach and go and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was at his end. He was about to leave them. But his last words were so important when he told them to go. See, he never told his disciples to stay where you're at. He told them to go. To go takes effort. To go takes getting out of a comfortable place and going sometimes into an uncomfortable, unwelcoming, even an unwanted place. That's what the go means. When he's telling us to go, that we need to get to that place where, you know what? That he's given us the authority, he's given us the anointing, and he's given us the mission and the mandate, what he's calling us to do as the church. See, when the Apostle Paul neared his time of death, he wrote these words to Timothy, his son in the faith. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and that the time of my departure is in hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all those also that his love is appearing. See, in history and in the old teachers, it tells us that as Apostle Paul was about to be sent to the guillotine, he was getting tamed by Nero to get beheaded. And it says, tradition tells us and teaches us that even when he was on his way to be beheaded, even when he was on his way to be killed for the gospel, the guards that were there by the side of him, he still reached out to them, and even they got saved. I want to encourage you today that regardless of what you're facing, regardless of your circumstance, you still have a mission. Regardless of what's happening in your private life, regardless of what's happening in your workplace, regardless of what's happening in your family, you still have a mission. You're called by God, you're chosen by God, you're selected by God, and God has something that he wants you to do. See, the gospel can work wherever and whenever. God does not limit the gospel to a certain group of people. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone, regardless of age, regardless of color, regardless of background, regardless of whatever. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Christians, it's the anchor. It's our anchor. The gospel is our anchor of what we believe. We believe that Jesus died and he rose again. We believe that, you know what, that the Holy Spirit is there and it empowers us to be witnesses for him. But we have a mission and we have a reason. And the reason is Jesus. We are called to be soul winners. You're in this place today. You are called to be a soul winner. You have been called to reach out. But maybe circumstances have stopped you reaching out, or maybe you've never reached out before. Maybe you're new to Christian faith. Maybe you've just been saved recently and you've never had an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. But, and you know what? Jesus will give you opportunities. Just pray for opportunities. Pray for boldness and pray for confidence, because sometimes fear can stop us sharing what God wants us to share. Sometimes fear can cripple us. especially sometimes as Christians. And I remember when I'm a product of the home, I'm a graduate of the home, I've done the home one time, but when I come out the home, the only people that I was confident in speaking to was the people from my own background. I could speak to drug addicts all day, I could speak to prisoners all day, I could speak to people from that lifestyle all day. But the minute you put me in a room when there was teachers, or you put me in a room where there was professionals, or you put me in a room where there was people that never came from that background, fear used to grip my life. It's like fear used to silence me. But you know what? I got a revelation that the Bible says, for God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. See, when you're serving Jesus, He'll break chains. He is a chain breaker. And one of the biggest chains that holds the church back is the chain of fear. Fear knowing when to speak, being bold enough when to speak, being confident enough when to speak. But when you're called by God, He will give you the words to say. See, not everyone's called to be the apostle or be the prophet or be the evangelist. Not everyone's called to be the pastor or be the teacher. But everyone's called to be a witness and to be a soul winner. Regardless if you're saved 5 minutes or you're saved 20 years, you are called to be a soul winner. You are called to tell people about Jesus. I love what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. It says, the generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You know that the last thing you want to do when you're going through it is tell somebody how good Jesus is. Have you ever been in that situation when you're going through your stuff, when you're having a bad day, when it's like everything's coming against you, it doesn't matter what happens, it's failing, you're having a real rotten day, then all of a sudden, God places someone on your path. And the minute you start sharing the good news, the minute you start telling people how good Jesus is, all of a sudden, that burden from you starts to lift, that heaviness from you starts to lift, because it says that he who refreshes others, himself will be refreshed. See, the problem is sometimes that we need refreshed. And how do you get refreshed? You get refreshed in the place of prayer, but you get refreshed when you go out there and you tell people the good news. Because how many know there's a lot of bad news out there? There's a lot of bad news. You just need to stick on the news or read the paper. There's stabbings, there's shootings, there's this, there's that. Crime is at an all high. But how many know the church have the answer? The church have the solution. And the solution is Jesus Christ. But it's going to take the church getting off their chair and getting on the street. It's going to take the church. I don't mean that you need to go on the streets every 5 minutes. But I want to tell you right now, you can be a witness in your workplace. You can be a witness at school. You can be a witness in the university. You can be a witness on the bus or on the queue or in the queue at Tesco or Asda. Wherever you are, wherever you place your feet, God has called you to be a witness, to tell people the good news, to tell people what Jesus Christ can do. It can do in your life. It can do in anybody's life. See, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that the Father wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. But that does not mean that everybody will be saved, because the Bible makes it clear that many people will reject Christ. But sometimes we get discouraged when we tell people the good news and they reject us. Sometimes we get disheartened when we're trying to tell someone about Jesus and they're mocking us and they're laughing at us and they're calling us names. Oh, here comes the Bible basher. Here comes the Jesus freaker. Here comes this. Here comes that. Here comes that. And we can get discouraged. But you know what? We need to keep showing the love of God. We need to keep going. I remember when I was on the streets as a heroin addict, there was an old lady that used to come when I was begging on the street. And she used to tell me, you know what, son? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I used to laugh at her. I used to mock her. I used to bring her down. And she would come every week, every week, every week. She would be faithful and she never gave up. And I believe that that's where the seed was planted in my life. The seed was planted then. See, we need to be, when you're a soul winner, you're planting seeds. You're planting seeds. You're planting seeds. I remember there was a time in prison when I was in a local prison, and hey, I'd done an altar call and quite a few people responding. I remember saying the sinner's prayer and leading them in prayer and encouraging them to go to Bible study and get involved in the chaplaincy in the prison and that. And that was a couple of years ago. Then just recently, a few weeks ago, I was in another prison and I was standing at the front ready to share, and someone came in and I heard them shouting, "All right, Kev." And I wow, and I was like, straight away, that's somebody from my prison days. And I was like, "Oh, here we go, this is whatever." Right? The next minute they come up, he said, "Remember me, man. I remember speaking to this guy and leading him to the Lord a few years ago." And he was telling me how his life had changed in prison, that he was connected in the prison, that then he got moved from one prison and they put him to another prison. And he became the chaplain, no, the chaplaincy, like the orderly in the prison, that was his job in the prison. That his job was to be in the chaplaincy every day. And he was telling me, you know what? He says, it all started with the seed getting planted. See, sometimes we get discouraged if we don't see fruit straight away for our seed. See, we can get discouraged that when you plant that seed, that sometimes we expect the microwave fruit. We expect the salvation straight away. We expect them to be speaking in tongues straight away. We expect them to be coming into church with a big study Bible straight away. We expect it straight away. But when you're sowing a seed, you're starting somebody's journey. See, no, everybody's going to come to the same church. You're sowing a seed. They might go to different churches there. They might go to different places. But as long as you're doing it for the honour and the glory of Jesus Christ, that you're a seed sower, that when you sow seed into ground at the right time, someone might come along and water it in a couple of months. Someone might come again and water it. Then in due season, the harvest will come. That you might be standing at church and someone will come up and say to you, "Remember, you spoke to me a couple of years ago. You gave me a flyer. You told me about the new gen. You told me about the gang. You told me about the homes. You told me about the church. Look at me now. I'm free. I'm clean. I'm saved. I'm on fire for God." See, soul winning is a journey. We cannot be discouraged when people reject us. Look how many people rejected Jesus. They're going to reject us. But we come back with love. We come back with love. See, regardless if they reject it or not, we are called to reach out. We are called to present the good news and tell people about Jesus. See, it's not about being a professional evangelist, but it's about being a mouthpiece for God. The Bible says in Psalms, I think it's Psalm 150, "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." See, if you've got breath, then you can be a mouthpiece for God. If you've got breath, then you can speak and talk about Jesus. See, if you've got breath, then you can be that mouthpiece. See, your everyday life is your platform. Your workplace is your mission field. And your work college is just as important to God than the crowd in a church service. See, your mission field could be that place at your workplace where you're telling people that when you go in on a Monday, where you'll not be in tomorrow because it's bank holiday. How many thank Jesus for bank holidays? Hallelujah. Go up and there's no work tomorrow. Well, maybe you are working tomorrow. God bless you. But for those that aren't working tomorrow, God bless you. Amen. But you know what? That when we get to that place, or when you get into your work and they ask you what you've done at the weekend, are you telling them about Jesus? Are you telling them about the church? Are you telling them about Victory Outreach? Are you telling them there's a place where they can come and be belonging and be part of something? See, we can be very eager about going on mission trips to serve God and to reach souls, which is great and which is amazing. But we travel far and wide to reach people, yet there's a family member who is unreached. There's a neighbor who we've never spoken to, or an unbeliever close to home who needs Christ more than ever. God wants to use this ministry to impact this nation, to impact this country, to impact this city of Salford and Manchester. God wants to use us. He's calling us. He's rising us up. He's giving us a place at the city gates. He's starting to use us. We're starting to get involved. And God has got a place for each and every person in this church today. If you're here today, then you're part of this. You're part of this ministry. You're part of this movement. But we have to be that witness. And in the opening portion of Scripture in Luke, when I started, Jesus shared the importance of leaving the 99 sheep to find the one. How many of you have ever been that one? You've ever been that one? That somebody went out their way to tell you about Jesus. That somebody crossed the road to come and tell you about Jesus. That a family member spent time and told you about Jesus. Or a work colleague spent time and told you about Jesus. Or someone on the street told you about Jesus. Because at some point, each and every one of us were that one. We were that one, and Jesus sent someone to reach us. Jesus sent someone to speak to us. Jesus sent someone to talk to us. I remember there used to be when I first came to the church, there used to be an old lady in the church called Hilda. An old faithful woman of God. She was a prayer warrior. She was like everybody's mum. Like to a certain extent, she would, when I was running the home, she would give every guy in the home a little book at Christmas, My Dear Child. And everybody would have this book. And I remember she was getting older and older. And we went to visit her one day because she couldn't get out of the house. And she said something to me that blew me away. She went, "You know what, Kevin?" She goes, "I can't get out to evangelize on the streets now. I can't really get out." And she's well in her over 80s. "I can't really get out as much now." She goes, "But could you do me a favor? Could you write down the name of every man in the home so I could pray for them? I might not be able to get out and speak to them physically, but I can pray for them in the supernatural." And that blew me away, because to me that was like a model of a soul winner. That she, regardless of age, regardless of circumstances, regardless of upbringing, she never allowed any of that to define her. But what she allowed to define her, that she was a child of God. And as a child of God, she had a duty and a responsibility to tell everybody about Jesus. See, today I want to ask you a question. Is that how can we become more motivated for soul winning? And one of the ways is that we must never ever lose the why. We must never ever lose the reason why we do what we do. See, all the time, each and every one of us in this place have been the why at some point. We were the why that someone shared the good news. We were the why. We were the why. We were the why the church came to Manchester. You were the why the church went there. You were the why that event took place. You were that why the gang done this, or why the church done this. You were that why. But we must never ever forget that why. If someone we knew was dying and we had the cure for his disease, that should motivate us to share the knowledge with that person. And the same reality is today that if people have a terminal spiritual disease, which is sin, and as Christians we know the cure for that disease, and the cure is Jesus, this truth should be great motivation for us to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that those who reject the cure for the spiritual disease will spend all eternity in hell. See, there's heaven and hell is real. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And we have a responsibility to point people in the way of Jesus. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16. It says, "Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news." What's compelling you today? What's compelling you in your walk with Jesus? What's that thing that drives you? What's that thing that gives you hunger? What's that thing that gives you the motivation? What motivates you? What motivates you when you get up in the morning? And I know it's coffee for some people, or it's your cup of tea. But what motivates you when you get up? What's your reason for going out the door every day? What's your motivation? See, the love of Christ, it must compel us. It must be the one that drives us. Because if the love of Jesus Christ isn't driving you, then someone else has got the steering wheel of your life. See, if the love of Christ isn't driving the vehicle, then someone else has got the steering wheel of your life. Someone else is taking you on a journey that you shouldn't be on. Someone is taking you a detour, because God has placed a way for you. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father unless they come through the Son." So there's a way that has to drive you, that Jesus Christ is the only way. that has to drive us. See, it says in Proverbs that the appetite of laborers works for them and their hunger drives them on. There has to be something that drives you on. As a Christian, we're spirit-filled to be driven on. It says, and like I said earlier in Acts 1, when the Holy Spirit come upon them, you will be my witnesses. See, there's something that has to drive us on to be a witness. There's something that has to drive us on to tell people about Jesus. But sometimes we can get too busy for Jesus. Sometimes circumstances and situations stop us and prevent us being soul winners for Jesus. You maybe have been hurt, or you maybe have been discouraged. Or maybe, like I said earlier, you've never done it before. And you don't know why, you don't know how to do it. But the Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. Ask someone. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to give you boldness to be a soul winner. We are called to be the light. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all those to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. It was a few months ago when it was Father's Day. The kids wanted to bless me. They wanted to take me to the shop and buy me some aftershave for Father's Day. Of course, with my own money. So I had to be, there was a budget, amen. But they wanted to take me and treat me to buy me any aftershave I wanted in the shop or whatever. So I remember standing in the shop in a typical Manchester day. It was dark and it was raining and you know the atmosphere when it's raining, everybody's like, ugh. Everybody just wants to get in and get out the town as fast as they can. Everybody's crunching their feet. People are looking down, depressed, and all that stuff. And I managed to pick the aftershave, and I'm standing at the till bit with Nadia, with little Nadia, my little girl. And Nadia's name means hope. And I remember just standing there, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Nadia just bursts into worship. And I mean, she just started singing loud and proud. She just stood where she was, regardless of who was there, regardless of how busy it was, regardless of our big brother was next to her going, shh, 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 shh. She never looked at that. But she just started singing how good her God was. And she started worshiping, and she was singing it out of her pure heart. Then all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. Then all of a sudden, the atmosphere went from people feeling down and discouraged and feeling miserable because of the rain outside, because of the darkness outside. They started to smile because of the light inside of this little girl who was standing there, boldness, full of fire, full of boldness, singing about how good Jesus was. And it got to the point, her song finished, so she went straight into another one, as she does. One wasn't enough, she'd done another one. Then at the end, everybody all round about her circled her and started applauding her. And saying, you know what, thank you. You've changed my day. And you know that's like us when we be that light. Because when you're the light, it's an atmosphere changer. Have you ever walked into a dark place and you're in there in the light, then all of a sudden the atmosphere changes? See, that's what God has called us to be atmosphere changers. And when Nadia started to sing worship, the atmosphere changed, because when God's light is shining through someone, it can change people. When you shine, regardless of what's to your left or to your right, people will always take notice. Because soul winners are switched on. Soul winners don't care what people think. Soul winners bring hope, they bring peace, they shine bright. Can you hide a city that is sitting on top of a mountain? Its light at night can be seen for miles, and if we live for Christ, we will glow like lights, showing others what Christ is like. But how many know that also as Christians we can hide our light? We can hide our light through circumstances, through things that are happening personal in our lives. We can hide our light when we become quiet when we should speak. Have you ever walked by a person and the Lord's told you you should have spoke to that person? It's happened to me before. I've been walking past and minding my own business, dealing with my own problems, worrying about my own issues, my eyes on myself. Walking past someone who was lost, broken, bound. Had a flyer in my pocket, but I was too busy because I had my phone in my hand. I think I was on Facebook at the time, trying to cheer myself up, looking at everyone else's misery. You know what I mean? Because that's what happens. Sometimes we go to Facebook for comfort, to see how everybody else is doing. And I mean, looking at it, and it's like the Lord just stopped me where I was at, and he said, you know what? You've just walked past a soul. I've called you to reach people. And I got convicted there on the spot. And I went back, and I shared the good news with the guy on the street, and I gave him the flyer and that. Because how many know that sometimes we can get caught up in our own stuff? Sometimes we can get too busy. We can even deny the light. We can sometimes, sin dims our light. That we've opened the door to certain things. We've been watching stuff that we shouldn't have been watching. We've been reading stuff that we shouldn't have been reading. We've been involved in stuff that we shouldn't have been involved in. And the light's been dimmed a bit in our life. But I believe today that God wants to stir it up in our lives again. That he wants to stir it up again in our life because we have a mandate and we have a calling. That he wants us to be a beacon of truth, that we should must never ever shut our light off from the rest of the world. That our light has to be attraction for the rest of the world. That regardless of what you're going through, you're saved and you know where you're going. But there's people out there and they're heading for destruction. But we have a call of God upon our lives. And another thing that we need to do to motivate ourselves is remember that this ministry has a mandate. That you're here today at Victory Outreach Manchester and we're a ministry with a mandate. Since 1967, when this ministry was formed in East LA in America, from 1967 up to now, we're in over 700 churches and ministries all over the world. Over 30 countries of Victory Outreach. All started with a man called Pastor Sonny Arganzoni getting a mandate from God. When God called him, he said, you know what? I'm calling you to reach the treasures out of darkness. I'm calling you to go to the inner cities, to reach the people, to teach the people, to tell them about Jesus. And we see that in Isaiah 45 verse 2 and 3 when it says, this is what the Lord says, I will go before you and level the mountains. I will smash down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. And I will give you treasures hidden in darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. See, this ministry is not just called to reach drug addicts. This ministry is not just called to reach the prostitute on the street. But this ministry is called to reach the single mother or reach the dentist or reach the bank manager or reach the bus driver or reach the school teacher. We're called to reach regardless. If they're in darkness and we're called to reach them, that's the treasure out of darkness that we're called to reach. It's not just the beggar on the street or the drug addict trying to get their next fix. It's not just the gangster or the drug dealer. It's anyone that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's our mission field. That's who we are called to reach. We are called to reach that person. We are called to share the good news. We are called to share our testimony. But it says, but I love what it says when it says, the promise is that he'll level the mountains, he'll smash down the gates of bronze, he'll cut through the bars of iron, and will give you and me the treasures hidden in darkness. When I was thinking of that this morning, he's promised us all this, but we have to go and get it. He's promised us it, that he'll go before us, it. He'll prepare the ground, he'll do the work, but we still need to go and tell them about him. We are called to go. We are called to reach out, but we are called to go and get them because soul winners are like treasure hunters. How many people are treasure hunters for Jesus? They know what? That we go for the treasures out of darkness. Someone that they might just be sitting there and they're having a bad day or they're suicidal or they're ready to take their life or something's happening. But God has called us to be soul winners, to get up and to get out there. It's time for the church to rise up and take our place. We pray, let there be revival. We pray, let the church double, let the church treble. But this is only going to come to pass when the church go outside and bring people in. When the church take the mandate and the mission of this ministry that we are called to the task of evangelizing. See, we're called to the task of evangelizing. You're not called to be comfortable. You're not called to be sitting in one place, but we're called to go out there and tell people about Jesus. That's the call of God that we have. We are called regardless. My children are called. My marriage is called. You're called. I'm called. We are all called to tell people about Jesus. See, that's the ministry where God has placed you. God has brought you here because inside there is such a passion inside waiting to get released inside some people that are going to be treasure hunters, that are going to be maybe the next evangelist or maybe the next pastor, the preacher, or might just be just the next soul winner. See, regardless of no matter what, we are called to be soul winners. See, we are called to share the message of hope. We are called to tell people about Jesus. One of the things I love about this ministry is about the call of God upon this ministry. How I got saved was through Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky and a guy called Barry's testimony. It was up in Scotland, they were in a church. I was trying to get into a different ministry. I was trying to get into a rehab. And I had to call up every day to get into this rehab. And I was told to go to church one night. There was a special guest. And I remember going to the church, and I remember at the time I didn't know it was Pastor Paul. He stood up and he testified about how he used to be a gangster and a this and that, and Jesus changed his life. Then Sister Vicky went up and shared her testimony. Then a guy called Barry went up and shared his testimony. And I remember sitting there in that chair, and I remember saying, you know what? They're speaking directly to me. They're speaking directly to me. God has sent them with a message of hope. God has sent them with a message of hope so I could hear it. See, God is sending you and he's sending me with a message of hope out into our community, out into our neighbours, out with our families. He's sending us with that message of hope. We know we've got Run for Hope coming up on Saturday. What an opportunity for us to go with the message of hope. As a church with the message of hope, we can tell people about Jesus, about how good Jesus is. But it just doesn't stop there on Saturday. We cannot be soul winners just at events. See, soul winners have to be a lifestyle. We don't just reach souls because there's a big event on. We reach souls because it's inside us, it's our DNA. It's in the blood. It's what God has called us. It's where God has positioned you. He's positioned you in a ministry that is called to the task of evangelizing. So we'll go into the dark places. We'll go in where the gangs are. We'll go where the business class is. We'll go where this is. We'll go. And there's going to be opportunities coming up to be involved in that. I know there's going to be opportunities when we go up to Scotland and maybe other cities where you can get a chance to be part of a team that go and tell people about Jesus. Maybe it's something that you desire, something that you want to get involved in, something that you want to be part of. You know that God has called you here for a reason, that God has not just called you here just for the sake of calling you. God is calling you here because he knows the plans that he has for you. He knows the anointing upon your life. He knows the call of God upon your life. He knows where he wants to position you, and he's positioned you right here, right now, because he wants you to be a mouthpiece for him. See, that's the call of God upon our lives. And I want to encourage us today, as Pastor Randy gets ready to make his way up, I want to encourage us today that no matter what, we've got a job to do. I believe that the Lord is saying that no matter what, that we've got a job to do. If it's going to reach this community, if we're going to reach this city, if we're going to reach the nations, it's going to take men and women and children like me and you to rise up and take our place. Then not to be ashamed of the gospel, but to tell people the good news. I love what it says in the book of Acts. It says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. What you see was predicted long time ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, how many know that we're in the last days? We're in the last days, church. It says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red. But the great and glorious of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we stand to our feet today.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vlmanchester.org for more information.